What would this world be like if we didn't have any light? Wouldn't that be awful? I can't listen. We support a missionary that's blind, Brother George Gray down in Texas. He has a great ministry there. And he's been in our church here a few times. He hasn't been here in the last few years. But personally, I can't imagine being without my eyesight. But there are a lot of people that cannot see. Everything is dark to them, or it's that gray look, or when you close your eyes, I have mentioned this before, that if you don't have any eyesight, it's because there's something wrong with the light coming into your eyes. Because that's what that allows us to see, is the light that penetrates the eye. And I don't know how it works, but it goes to the brain, and the brain tells us, hey, that, you know, you're wearing a blue shirt, John, you got a red shirt on, and we can see that with the light that's here. You know what it's like when it's completely dark? You can't see anything. And so I appreciate light. I thank God for sunlight. I thanked Him this morning. I thank You, Lord, for allowing the sun to come up. And it takes, when the sun comes up in the morning, it displaces all of the darkness that we had around us all night long. And I'm one of these guys that I cannot, if the sun is up, I have to be up. If it's light out, that's it. My eyes are open and I'm awake. That's just the way I am. Some people are not like that. Some people can sleep anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter. They could have all these lights. I can't do that. I cannot sleep with a light on. I have to have the room completely dark. I can't even have a light coming underneath a doorway. That bothers me. I have to get up and make sure all the lights are off. But that's just me. I'm just a little weird. Say amen.
Amen.
That's just... Boy, you were awful quick on that. But that's just the way I am. I have to have things dark when I sleep. But the Bible has a lot to say about light. And we sang all of these songs about light and about how God is light. Take your Bibles and go to 1 John. We were here a couple of weeks ago. We're coming back to 1 John chapter 1 again. Whole different message. Completely different message. But we're going to be here in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. When you find it, please stand. Paul, you were sitting way too long. 1 John chapter 1, we'll just read. I'm going to read the entire chapter, 10 verses. Find 1 John and just turn over just a few pages to James chapter 1. All right? Hold your place in 1 John 1 and then find James 1. That's not too far away. You should be able to handle this. Oh, maybe he's on. I don't know. I'm having trouble with my phone. I think he's on, I guess. We have somebody I call and he listens to the message because he can't be in church. So if you see me up here ever on my phone, I'm not just making a casual call to somebody. It's either President Trump or this guy that I'm talking about. So either the president's asking me something or whatever. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." That's one of the reasons that John wrote this book. His letter was that our joy would be full, that we would have full, we would be full of joy. You go through the First John and you'll see several reasons why he wrote this letter, but this is one of them. Then it says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, but just go over to James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says this, James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the" what? "Father of lights, Who's the one that invented light? God invented light. You know why? Because God, the Bible says, God is light. He is the Father of lights. He is the originator of light. Can you imagine that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness, the Bible says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God made the statement, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So God originated and instituted and invented and began with light. The reason is because God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Thomas Edison? In the latter part of the 1800s, now I didn't know this, but Thomas Edison was not the first guy that invented the light bulb. Did you know that? There was others that invented the light bulb. Matter of fact, going back to 1802, there was a gentleman, I forget his name, but he actually was the one that actually started to invent using electricity to invent a light bulb. Edison took all of those other inventions, and there were countless people that were working on this particular thing. I am really glad today that we can walk into a room and just flip on a switch. And we can have these lights. Now, some people have said that these lights are way too bright for this room. I don't know. I like bright light when I'm sitting in an auditorium. I like to be able to see what I'm looking at. I don't like to strain my eyes when I'm trying to read the scriptures. I like good light. But as an inventor, Thomas Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. Did you know that? 1,000 different tries or attempts to invent that thing, and he failed 1,000 times. At least we would say that he failed 1,000 times. When a reporter asked, how did he feel about failing 1,000 times? Edison replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. See, he took that failure and he made him into steps. But I was thinking about this. Can you imagine this? Here's Thomas Edison. Try number one. Fail or step. Try number two. Try number 850. You know what God is doing? God is just up there in heaven saying, come on, Tom, you can do it. You can do it. All right, there's another failure, Tom. What are you doing, Tom? All right, you're up to 999. Tom, you're gonna get it. But he's also back there just saying, you know what, Tom, I had no problem making light. There was no issue with me at all. I said, let there be light, and guess what? There was light. God never failed at making a light bulb. But human beings, we fail on things all the time. But when it comes to light, that is, I think, one of the most wonderful and cheering and useful of all the works of God came into being on the very first day of the 6 days of creation when God said by His voice, let there be light, and there was light. He took a dark, dingy planet, enlightened it to bring life to this world. I really believe that a person that is exposed to constant darkness can experience depression. They say that can happen. Some people get the winter blues due to the shorter daylight hours in the winter months. I don't like it when it's dark about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the winter. I don't like it when it's, you know, it doesn't start getting daylight until what, 7:30? I don't know, somewhere in the winter. I mean, it just makes for a very short day and a long night. And people can get those winter blues over a period of time. And so they say that in order to avoid that, doctors have recommended the exposure to bright artificial light for these people to try to raise their mood back up and get some happy back in them. The Mayo Clinic said this about managing depression. It's called seasonal affective disorder. Also known as SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder, is a type of depression that occurs at the same time every year. If you're like most people with seasonal affective disorder, your symptoms start in the fall and may continue into the winter months, snapping your energy and making you feel moody. Now that's why I know that's the problem with some of you. Less often, seasonal affective disorder causes depression. during this period of time, and even into the spring or even early summer. It takes that daylight, takes that sun coming up. It says that treatment for seasonal affective disorder includes light therapy. But there's something that we see in the Bible. Every single one of us, at some period of our life, before salvation, was affected by seasonal affective disorder. This thing called a lack of light in our lives. But when Jesus Christ came in, He lit us up. I mean, He is light. The Bible says that God is light. Jesus Christ is light. We sang some hymns today. There's other hymns. The light of the world is Jesus. Heavenly sunlight. Jesus bids us shine. Let the lower lights be burning. Let the sun shine again in my heart. Send the light. Stepping in light. Sunlight. Sunshine in the soul. The light of the world is Jesus. When love shines in, I'm glad for light. When's the last time you actually thanked God for the sun coming up in the morning? I did it this morning. I thank God for the sun that came up. I've been thanking Him more and more. I thank You, Lord, that You allowed this thing to come up every morning, and it displaces all of the darkness, and it gives us some cheer. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, back in 1865, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, but it was a blessing when I did read it. In 1865, matter of fact, December 3rd, 1865, Charles Spurgeon, on a Sunday morning, delivered a message from the text that you and I just read in 1 John here a few minutes ago. He says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." There are two great powers in conflict in this world. One is the power of good, of which God is the king, and the other is the power of evil, which is represented by the prince of the power of the air, Satan. Light, God; darkness, Satan. That's the two representations we see, he says. The first principle is set forth by John under the figure of light. God Himself is essential light, and everything which is good in the world is a production from Himself. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The light is the evident emblem of truth. Darkness is the symbol of error. Light represents holiness. Darkness is the appropriate figure for sin. Light represents knowledge, especially of spiritual things. Since light reveals, darkness is the fit token of the ignorance under which the natural mind labors perpetually. By nature, we are all born under the dominion of darkness. We grope our way like blind men, and when we knew God by the light of His works, we glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in our imaginations, and our foolish heart was darkened. Naturally, spiritual things are not discernible by man. They are spiritual and spiritually discerned, and the carnal mind cannot perceive them, for it is the works of darkness. And he goes on, and I've got more of his quote, but I just don't have time to do it. I want to give you four things today, what the Bible says about what is light. What is light? There are four things that I have found in the Bible that defines to us what light is, or they are referred to as something like light. Number one, the first thing is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at John 8. Look what Jesus says in John 8. I don't know about you, but to me, light is very, very important. I really do like. I like light. I enjoy a bright, sunny day. When it's cloudy and dingy out, I sometimes feel a little cloudy and dingy myself. When it's dark out, I might feel a little dark myself. But I try not to allow that to get to me. But I do enjoy a sunny day. How often do you walk outside and look up and see the blue skies and the sun is shining, even if it's a hot and humid day, and still thank God for the beautiful day? Still thank Him for the sunshine. I do. I thank Him for the sunshine. I just believe that we should thank God for everything that He's given to us. The air that we breathe, the oxygen and the air and the water that we drink and the sunlight that we have that lights up this world. It's amazing that one ball 93 million miles away can do what it does to this entire planet. and how it lights up the entire world. But the sun, S-U-N, is kind of represented by the sun, S-O-N. Because Jesus Christ can light the world. He says in John chapter 8, in verse 12, let me read that. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's one of the great I ams of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. I am light, he says. You follow me and you're not going to walk in darkness. The opposite of that is true. You don't follow me, what are you going to be walking in? Darkness. You're not going to be able to see. You're going to be tripping over things in your life. Your entire time, you're going to be falling and tripping and hurting yourself over and over and over again. You know, when people fall into sin and they're constantly tripping or constantly getting involved in things they shouldn't, you know exactly it's a lack of light. They can't see what they're doing. You try to correct them. You try to show them. You try to help them. And spiritually speaking, they cannot see the error of their way because they're walking in darkness. You are at one time in that particular situation in your own life. So was I. I was walking in darkness till I got saved. And then the light came on. It's like spiritually in my spirit, all of a sudden, the Lord just came along and turned the light on when Jesus came in. Because He is the light of the world. He lights our soul. He lights us up. What a blessing. Go to John. You're right there in John. Go to John chapter 1. John 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." In other words, the darkness doesn't even understand this light that's shining. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." See the capital L in your Bible? If you have a capital L, that's what it's supposed to be. A capital L. That's a witness of the light. "That all men through him might believe." When the light comes on, you start believing. Amen. "He was not that light." John was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him." This is talking about Jesus Christ. "And the world knew him not." The next verse says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own family rejected him. His own nation rejected him. The nation of Israel rejected him. But he came to be a light. He came to produce a light. He came to provide that light in a very dark and dingy world. Following Jesus Christ will keep us from walking in darkness. Trusting Him, trusting His Word. This Word is I don't want to get ahead of myself because that's one of the points, but we see that this Bible is also a light. Look at John chapter 12. John 12 and verse 35. John 12, 35. John 12, 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." You're walking in darkness. You don't know where you're going. You don't know. You have no clue. Now, when I was young and foolish, I'd be driving down the road and I, being young and foolish, would turn off my headlights and see how far I could go without, well, you know. But you know what? As soon as I turned those headlights off and it was pitch black and I'm driving down the road, I got scared. And I immediately turned them back on again, realizing that stupid, calling myself a name, you don't know what you're doing. You're eliminating the light in front of you. You're going to hit something or somebody, and you're going to kill some. You could hurt yourself. You could hurt somebody. It was just one of those stupid things that we all do once in a while. Maybe you've never done that, but some of the things that we do in our life are, let's be honest, it's with a capital S for stupid. And I just realized that when I was young, that, hey, I needed those headlights to shine. Recently, I had a headlight go out. Thank God I didn't get stopped for it, but I did. And I noticed that I had half the light that I would normally have when I have both headlights working. And so we need that light. When we're driving down the road, we need light. When you're walking somewhere that you're not even familiar, listen, you could be walking around your house and without any light, you think you know where you're going. And how many times have you ran your shin into something? And you say, well, I knew it was there. How come I didn't see it? Because it was dark. The room was dark. A kid left a little toy in your path and you tripped over it or whatever. Or the cat got in your way. Or the dog got in your way. Or the furniture all of a sudden just moved, you thought. It wasn't supposed to be there. You know how bad we need light in order for us to just get through this world? How bad does the world need Jesus Christ? Without Him, the world is walking in darkness. People don't understand spiritual things without Jesus Christ. They don't understand why are things happening the way they are. What's going on with the prophecy? What's taking place in the world? I mean, we look at the world and we say, wow, everything is kind of just adding right up. Lining right up with the prophecies of the Bible. And so that gives us some light on these things. Look at John, you're right there in John chapter 12. Look at verse 46. John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. God does not want us walking around in the darkness. I'm talking spiritually now. I'm talking in your life. Doing the things that you're doing. Get some light. If you're having trouble in this world, get some light to show you what to do and the right pathway to take and the decisions that you need to make. Stop making bad decisions without the light. Get the Lord in your life. Go back to John chapter 9. Look at verse 5. John 9, 5. Jesus says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that He was the light of the world. Isn't that a blessing to know? Listen, folks, I'm not your light. I am not your light. Jesus is my light. Now, I know as a saved person, we're supposed to reflect the S-O-N light, the sunlight. As the moon is a reflection of the sun. The only way that you can see the moon at night is a reflection of the sun. That's the only way. It's not a light source of itself. You and I are not a light source of ourselves. We only shine as a reflection of Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago I preached a message. If you call yourself a Christian, act like one. If you're gonna walk around claiming to be a child of God, if you're gonna walk around claiming to be saved, if you're gonna act like if you're gonna call yourself that, then act like one. We are a direct result of Jesus Christ working in our life. We ought to look and act like a Christian. As the moon reflects the sun, S-U-N, you and I as a Christian are to reflect the sun, Jesus Christ. As He shines in our life, we are to shine also. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. But this light is amazing. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. Revelation 21 and verse 23. Revelation 21, 23. This is that New Jerusalem. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, capital L, that's Jesus Christ, is the light thereof. Look at chapter 22, Revelation 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever, and we're not going to need the sun and the moon. We're going to have God, Jesus Christ, lighting the entire universe. I don't understand all that. I don't get that. But I do believe what the Bible says about this light that we're going to be able to enjoy. And that's the light of God. And so the very first light source that we see is the Savior, Jesus Christ. The second one is the Scriptures. The Scriptures are called light. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The whole context there is about the Word of God. It's the prophecy. The prophecy here that we see, or the Word of God, is considered a light. Well, when I read this book, it's like when I open up the Bible. Now, my Bible is black on the outside. It's dark, right? When I open it up, what do I see? White pages. And when I read the Bible, you got to open it up to get anything from it. If you leave it closed, it stays dark. It'll do nothing for you. You can put it on your dashboard of your car and it's not going to help you. It's not going to keep you from an accident. You can leave it closed and lay on it at night and thinking that maybe by osmosis the Word of God will come into my brain. That's not going to work. You can't just leave it closed on your, you know, on a cabinet or on a nightstand or on a coffee table somewhere or on your kitchen table and expect to get anything out of it. It's like having a flashlight and you're groping at night and you don't even pick up the flashlight, turn it on to see what you're doing. You think you can do it yourself. That is the way that a lot of people look at the Bible. I don't need to open this thing up. I've got my own ways of doing it. And you know what it is? It's just dark. It's just black. Until you open it up, it's like turning a flashlight, a spiritual flashlight on, so you can see what's going on in your life. That's what this Bible is all about. To me, it's a spiritual flashlight. Now, I like bright flashlights. If I go outside to do something, I want to make sure the boogeyman's not coming around me. I want to make sure there's not a gigantic, you know, the what's that monster that's running around here? The Sasquatch. I want to make sure that Sasquatch is a little way. Or if I see him coming at me, I want to be able to, you know, run really fast. Or if I see anything else, you know, the monsters that are out there in the night, right? Everybody's got a monster out there somewhere. I kid my kids, hey, the creek monster's coming, you know. All right. You know, I just, you have a little fun with them once in a while, and then they get all scared. And they say, no, that's not true. But I like a bright flashlight. When my flashlight gets low on batteries, I have to replace the batteries. I want to make sure that I have bright light. And so this Bible, to me, is God's bright flashlight. That when I open it up, I turn it on, and it gives me exactly what I need. That's what the Bible lights our way. Look at Psalm 119. You know these verses, I'm sure. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. Not only is Jesus Christ our light source, but this blessed book is our light source. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible lights our pathway. The Bible lights the direction, shows us exactly where to go. You're out at night. It's extremely dark. And boy, you've got that flashlight shining, or you've got your headlight shining. You can see what's out there. You know exactly where to go. You know exactly what to do. That's what this Bible is likened to. It's a divine lamp. But it's more than just a lamp. To me, a lamp is somewhat dull and dingy and doesn't produce a whole lot of light. But this Bible will give you all the light you need in the direction that you're taking. It's a divine lamp. It's God's Word. God's Word is a light. When the Word of God is open and read, there's a spiritual light that shines and illuminates the reader. Doesn't that happen to you when you read the Bible? It happens to me. When I open up the Bible, if I leave it closed, I get nothing out of it. Yes, you can come and hear a message, and yes, you can maybe get some preacher on the radio or TV or whatever. But when you open the Bible, this produces and provides really all the light you need in your life. Man needs a guide through life. Don't sit there and say you don't. Man needs a compass. Man needs a light. Because it is. I mean, it's a brilliant day today. The sun is out. Thank the Lord. But I'll tell you, the world in general is a dark place to be. And when we're going through life, it's good to have a good light. It's good to have a guide. It's good to have a compass. And that's what this Bible does. Man's natural or mental eyes are dim. And the road can become extremely drear and intricate and dark. And we need something that'll light up our pathway in life. In the path of the young and the aged, the rich and the poor, the merchant, the statesman, the philosopher, the Bible will give that person all the direction and all the light that they need. this book. Why do we always preach on it? Why does Brother Gibb always preach on reading the Word of God? Why do I always say, read your Bible every single day? Read your Bible. It's like getting up in the morning and turning the flashlight, the spiritual flashlight on, so you can see what you're doing through the day. You leave it closed, you could trip, you could fall, you're gonna hurt yourself, spiritually speaking, mentally. This will provide you the light that you need. That's what the Bible is designed for. It throws light on every occasion. It throws light on everything that you need in life. Every step that you take, you need to light it with the Word of God. So you don't make a bad direction. Make it turn in a bad direction or make a bad decision. How many of us have made some bad decisions in life? Amen? Lots of us have done that. I don't know about you, but I've probably made hundreds of thousands of bad decisions in life. And so often it's because I forgot to turn the flashlight of God's Word on. I thought I could do it. I thought I could make it through life. I thought I could make that decision based upon my own instincts and my own experience and my own abilities. Come to find out, I fell flat on my face. I tripped over something in this mental world that could have been extremely destructive without the Word of God. This book will throw light on everything that you can think of. I don't care what it is. Any kind of sin that you can think about, this Bible will expose. Any kind of situation in life, this Bible will make it very clear that what God wants you to do. Look at Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment, it says. Look at that. For the commandment is a lamp. What's the commandment? When we talk about the commandment, we're talking about what? This book, the Word of God. That's what the commandment is. It says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law. The law, again, is another word for the Word of God. The law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The commandment and the law, they're both a lamp, they're a light. You make bad decisions because you forgot to turn the light on of God's Word. You do things that maybe you shouldn't do because you didn't turn the light on of God's Word in your life. We fail on things many times because we fail to check with God. We fail to check with His divine course, His divine light. And so we make poor decisions sometimes. We allow our lives to get entangled with the world because the world is dark and dingy, and the world likes to draw the dark and dingy within it. But a Christian that is in the Word of God and has the light of God's Word will know enough to stay away from those things in the world. Go back to Psalm, and the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19. Look at verse 8. Psalm 19, 8. We sing this often as a church. Not going to sing it. We're just going to read it. But Psalm 19, 8, it says, the statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Look what it says. Enlightening the eyes. Now, it has two meanings. Enlightening the physical eyes so you can see things, but also enlightening the spiritual eyes that you can see the spiritual aspect of things. Go back to, well, we already read that. Go over to Psalm 19 again, Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119. Look at verse 130. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth understanding unto the... Right here. Yeah, buddy. Right here. Look up here. I'm simple. You are too. We're all simple. It gives us this light. It gives us the ability. It gives us the understanding that we need. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The problem we have today with so many Christians, listen to me, is that so many Christians are not spending time in the light of God's Word, and their life shows it. Their life is dark. The decisions that they make are immoral, impure, not right with God. It's because we're not allowing the light to shine in our life. Folks, we need this book. It's a light source. Not only is the Savior, Jesus Christ, God a light source, but so is His book a light source. We need this book. I need it every day of my life. I read it every day. I need a flash. I need a spiritual light every day of my life. I don't always make the right decisions. And I listen, we all do that. We all sometimes fail on things. But I will say this. You will fail less. You will sin less with the light of God's Word illuminating your path and illuminating your steps and illuminating your thoughts. And Listen, you ever have a bad thought? Anybody honest in here? You know what immediately we should do is immediately quote Scripture. Immediately quote Scripture. When we have a bad thought, we have a negative thought. I mean, listen, even negative thoughts can destroy and wipe out even a good Christian. Amen. Depressing thoughts. Times that we go through in life and we meditate on the things that are not godly. Meditate and think about the things that are that God doesn't want us to meditate and think about. Can destroy a good Christian. Because we fail to turn the light on of His Word and see what we're doing in life. We need this book. Don't sit there and say you don't need God's Word. With an attitude like that, you will fall. If you're not saved, you could die and go to hell someday because this book will enlighten your pathway to eternity. Boy, how important it is. We need it. I need it. You need it. We need it every day. But you got to open it up. And you got to read it. You got to read something from this book every day. Brother Gipp was saying it. Proverb in 10 pages a day. You do whatever you want, but you got to be in this book every day. You get in the book every day. This will light up the path that you're taking. Number three, look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, the third thing. We'll see. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. Here's number three. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye, Jesus is saying this, He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know, not only is the Savior a light source, not only is the Scriptures a light source, but you and I as saints are light sources. And again, we reflect the light of Jesus Christ that comes into our life. We are to be a reflection of Christ. So the question today is are you a light? Are you an emblem of light for God? In a dark and dingy world. Can other people look at you and say, he or she's a Christian? By the way they act? By the words they say or don't say? Amen. People know us by our words. People know us by our actions. People know exactly who you are and they know exactly who I am. They know exactly the way we are based upon the way we act, the way we react to things, and the words that we say with our mouth. That's exactly how we are known. Jesus said, ye, us. We are light also. Now, many of us, we all said amen to the point where God, Jesus Christ, is light and the Scriptures are light. But folks, it doesn't stop with just those first two. It goes on to the point where now it's getting more personal. And it's focused right on you and me. Now we're light. So how are we exemplifying the light of God in His Word? See, the first two, that's a no-brainer. The first two, that's easy. Amen to that. Ah, Jesus Christ is light. He said, I am the light. The Scriptures are the light. But now the third one is, it's getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Now it's getting to the point where it's personal between you and I. Now He says, you're light. Yeah, the Scriptures are, and yeah, my son is, but now you're light too. If you're saved, you're part of this light. Light is an emblem of purity. Light is an emblem of knowledge and action and unity and benevolence. I like what this guy said here, and I want to quote this guy, Jerry Furso. He said this, and I really like it, so I wanted to share it with you. Everyone appreciates light. Does not matter how small it may be. If it's shining, it can lead us out of darkness. Amen. The Bible reminds us that God desires His children to shine in this present world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. He goes on and says this, I believe as Christ followers, we would agree on the importance of letting our light so shine. But it is sad how many Christians have let their light dim. As we consider these verses, I believe that they contain two practical principles to help keep our lights shining. Number one, we are instructed to stop complaining. I should go to the altar right now and pray. You ever complain? You ever not complain? Let's rephrase that. Do we ever not complain? Once in a while. But he says that. He says we got to stop complaining. If anyone had reason to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. He was writing this letter from prison to the Philippians, right? Yeah. But did he have a reason to complain? Say yes, because he did. More of a reason than you or I. But boy, we got Christians that do a lot of complaining today. His crime was faithfully following God. That was his crime. Preaching the Word of God, and they throw him in prison for it. He dies in prison eventually. And the second thing is we're challenged to be blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless. Blameless is being free from fault. As a Christian, we will not live our lives without sin. You can't. Let me say that again. As Christians, we cannot live our lives without sin. But we should live our lives without the dimming effect of sin. There's a big difference. You and I will probably do something that we shouldn't, or think something we shouldn't, or say something we shouldn't. You and I will probably do that because walking in this life, we've not been removed from sin yet. Now we're saved from it. Hallelujah. We don't have to sin. Praise God. But we choose and elect to sin. But we ought to, as a Christian, we ought to be blameless. We should go through life not allowing these dimming effects of sin to take place in our life. And so, again, we need to think about this. We are lights. How are we shining today? Are we even shining today? Or has the devil or the world or somebody else come along and turned your light off? A lot of Christians, I believe they're saved, but they're dim. They're allowing the things of this world to come into their life. And when you allow the darkness of the world to come in, it displaces the light. It pushes the light out with your darkness. With you allowing yourself to do some of the things or think some of the things or be involved in some of the things of this world. It pushes the light away. It pushes God away. It pushes the Scriptures away. It pushes other Christians away at times. Give you some scripture on this real quick. It's the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, Proverbs 4:18 says. Romans chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Go over there. Take a look at that quick. Romans chapter 2 and verse 19. Romans 2:19. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 19. Romans 2:19. And are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. But he says, a light of them which are in darkness. We are to shine in a dark place. Some of you work in dark places. Not literally, you know, light-wise, but just around you. Some of us may live in some dark areas. May have some family members that are not living for God. You might work with some people that aren't living for God. You know how dark it can be. But we're still supposed to shine. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Very difficult to put one person that's full of light, saved, with the other person that's not saved, full of darkness. Sometimes that doesn't work very well. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Paul goes on and says, we are not of the night nor of darkness. We're supposed to be children of light. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, we know the Savior is light. That's a no-brainer. We know the Scripture is light. That's easy to understand. But also the saints. You and I are light. So the question today is how are you shining? How are you a light in a dark world? I don't have time to get to the last point. The last point is salvation. The gospel is light. The gospel is light. When we share with a lost person the gospel message of Jesus Christ, what we are doing is we're taking the flashlight of God's Word and the light of God, and we're presenting it to that person that's not saved in hopes that that person will receive the light and understand it and get saved through the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That salvation is light. The light of the gospels provides clearly, listen to me, the need for salvation. You read through the gospels and you'll understand the need to be saved by reading the Word of God. Because the Bible makes it very clear that we're all sinners in need of salvation. That Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cross for our sins, shed His blood for us, to give us hope of eternal life. We need to turn from our unbelief. We need to turn from our ways and trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And boy, when we do, the light is on. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Before you got saved, you wouldn't even come to a service like this very much. Maybe once in a while you'd come, but now you have a desire to come to church and to see and hear and learn from the Word of God. Now you have a desire to open up this book every day. You don't understand everything. You can't understand everything, but you understand a lot of it. You can glean a lot from this book. You just keep reading and reading. Well, I don't understand everything that I read. Join the club, because I don't either. But it's not going to stop me from reading and studying. You will learn more as you read. You open up this book, it's a light. Jesus Christ is light. You and I are light. The gospel of salvation is a light to a lost and dying world. We support our missionaries back there because we want them to take the light of the gospel to a lost and dark world. And thank God when we hear about people being saved. Thank God when we hear about our missionaries going out into the bush, into the dark areas of Africa and other places to take the Word of God to a lost and dying world. But so are we, to take the message of God's Word to our neighbors and to where we work and where we shop and pass out gospel tracts whenever we can. Give out a gospel tract. Invite somebody to church. Tell them about Jesus Christ. So vitally important. Light. I'm thankful for light. Are you thankful for light? Are you thankful for Jesus Christ as our light? Are you thankful for the Bible as a light source? Are you thankful that we, the Lord, put us in charge of taking the light of His Word to a lost and dying world? I don't know why He chose us. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He chose you, but He did. He says, you're light. Now take that light and do something with it. Stop walking around in darkness. Let your light so shine among men so they can see what God has done for you. Father, thank You again for light. Thank You, Lord, again for the light of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You, Lord Jesus, You are our light. Lord, I'm afraid that many times we, as the light of the world also,